Yes, sir.
I am sad.
This is a tough one. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you for the next 3 hours, taking you until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Fliegelman on the other side. And it is the end of the Yankee season in a fashion that is hard to explain. Very difficult to explain. Hard to get the words out. I am, like, this is, make no mistake about it. I know they still had a ton to accomplish after last night, even if it went their way. They would have still had to go to L.A. and win two games. No team has ever done what they couldn't do last night, let alone finish it off in the World Series. And yes, the Red Sox were the one team ever, we know that, to do it at all in the postseason. But no team's ever accomplished it in the World Series. No team has ever still even forced a Game 6. They had a ton more to do. So when you think about some of the other losses, you might say, well, listen, they still had so many other, they still had to win two more games. It's not like 0-1 where they were outs away with Mariano on the mound, or, you know, it's not like 0-4 and watching this thing fall apart slowly, or any other series. I got to tell you, this one, and maybe it's the immediacy bias that I'm feeling right now, this one hurts as much as any. In the moment, I can't remember feeling more sick to my stomach, more disappointed, more angry, more frustrated, more sad, more distraught, more wanting to put a, you know, just go absolutely crazy, rip my shirt off and out of frustration. Like, it's as difficult a loss for Yankee fans, I think, and certainly for this Yankee fan speaking to you, as any in my lifetime. Because to watch them throw this away, and let's start with where the game started, because the game started exactly how they needed it to. I mean, you could not have started this game any freaking better. You get Cole out there, and we knew what this game was for Cole. And that's the other, the legacy of these two guys who have been so terrific for the New York Yankees in Judge and Cole. And it was their night. It was their night, because this game started off exactly the way the Yankees needed it. Cole goes out there and gives them a clean, crisp, nice and easy, low pitch count. And you knew that was going to come into it, as you needed him to go deep into this game. Low pitch count, first inning. And then Judge hits the two-run home run that we have been waiting for this entire postseason, specifically the first inning. Whether it's to match the Freddie Freeman home runs, whether it's just the opportunities he's had for all his struggles in this postseason. For all his struggles. The biggest glaring one was the amount of times he came up with both runners on, both Gleyber Torres and Juan Soto. But it seemed like every game he came up in the first with an opportunity to break the game open and have a laugher and give the bullpen a rest. And give a starting pitcher an easy night. So many times we've been waiting for him to break out, and specifically in the first inning. And when he hits that two-run home run, you felt like, here we are. There's still a lot to do, but we are going back to L.A. And we are going back to L.A. with all the momentum you could possibly have. And Cole continues it as they move forward, and the Yankees tack on runs. And they get the follow-up home run with Jazz Chisholm. They get the Verdugo base hit that gives them the fourth. They get the home run from Stanton to give them a 5-run lead with Cole pitching a no-hitter and all the momentum that you would need if you were going to try and accomplish what they were trying to accomplish and coming back from the disaster that was Game 1, coming back from the ineptitude that was Game 2 and 3. If you were going to do it, you needed the miracle, or I shouldn't say miracle, you needed the big game. The other night, you needed the Volpe game. You needed a breakout. You needed a laugher. You needed the offense waking up and scoring 10, 11 runs. You needed that, and then you needed to follow it up with the Dodgers thinking this thing is falling apart. And that's how it started. It was falling apart for the Los Angeles Dodgers, not the New York Yankees, the Los Angeles Dodgers. It was 5-0. They were being no hit. They got beat up the night before. Everything was exactly what you needed if you were going to try and accomplish what they were trying to accomplish. And instead, That fifth inning, where they completely just absolutely crapped all over themselves. There's no other way to put it. They fell apart and blew themselves an opportunity. They threw this game away. They gave this game away. They choked this game away. They coughed this game away, whatever cliche you want to deal with. And we'll get to the other aspects after this inning. They lost the game in that fifth inning. It was over. I had zero faith, even though they left that inning with the game tied, zero faith they would win that game. I didn't, even when they took the lead, I had zero faith. And let me tell you this, I know this is meaningless one way, even if they figured out a way to win the game, it wasn't the way it needed to be done. The Dodgers had fought back. The Dodgers knew they could get to him at any time. Even if they did pull off the miracle of still winning this game, it was over. That fifth inning was the most inevitable ending of the season, and just the heights of what this team is in many, many ways. And let me just say this real quick, because I know everybody's going on a harp on, and I see it everywhere, that this was, you know, what has always hampered this team, and in many ways it did. And I understand that, you know, fundamentals, and it would have been easier for me. First of all, it would have been easier if they just got pounded, right? Even game one, I'm more frustrated with the slight more, you know, the decisions and the difficult things. Like the walk-off grand slam doesn't bother me. That's a great player making a great play and a great swing. Like, it's what it is. And if they get beat in this game by 100 runs, I'll live with it. But it's the self-inflicted wounds that drive you up a wall that you can't tolerate. And as much as this team has lacked fundamentals, I totally agree. Right? So much of what's plagued this team, the bullpen has fallen apart at different times, the fundamentals, the base running, right? That's all true. But I'm sorry, when I look at this inning, I don't see necessarily lack of fundamentals. I see guys just blowing the game. Aaron Judge hasn't made an error all year. Fundamentals to me are, which we've seen a ton of, I'm not trying to take away from this team, it's absolutely the reason they're flawed and the flaws caught up to them. But fundamentals, which we've seen all the time, is running to third base on a ground ball hit in front of you. Fundamentals are overthrowing the cutoff man and allowing a guy to get to from first base to get to second base in scoring position that comes back to bite you. There are so many fundamentals that have kept this team down in so many ways over the course of the year that I think now it's become a lazy argument to say, instead of just saying, Judge dropped a ball. He didn't make the wrong play. He dropped a ball. Anthony Volpe didn't make the wrong play. He made the right play. And after having a great game the night before, making defensive play after defensive play, he made the right play. He got the ball. Third base was the only place he could go. He made the right play. He was there. He threw the ball into the dirt. These are the easiest plays you could possibly make. This was the moment got to them. This is inexplicable that those plays are dropped. Inexplicable. And then you get to covering first base. You want to call that fundamentals? That's the closest play to actual fundamentals. But here's the bottom line. He's a $300 million pitcher. And you can't tell me that that's... there's no amount of coaching, there's no manager, there's no amount of practice to make him do the obvious play of going to first base, and his excuse is laughable. And he's great in this game. And what he's able to do after the fifth inning is mind-blowing and remarkable. I thought he was done and dead. I was almost disappointed they went back to him because I thought there was no hope for him. And instead, he shows you toughness and fights back and gets through the next inning in two-thirds or whatever it is. Remarkable. Great. He was big in this moment, and his team let him down, but he let himself down. There is no excuse not to run to first base. Whether he took a... And if you didn't hear Cole's excuse, maybe we'll play it throughout the morning. He thought he had a chance to field it, so he took a bad angle to it. And then once the ball got by him with the squibber from Mookie Betts, once the ball got by him, he didn't have a good angle to get to first base. I don't care if all of that is true. You attempt it. You run to first base. And normally I get all over Rizzo. I've actually said about Rizzo that I wish someone would love me as much as Rizzo loves throwing the ball to the pitcher instead of just taking it to the bag. I do agree with the squibber and the idea that ball was spinning. He can't attack that ball and try to go to first. He's got to make sure he fields it. That is up to Gerrit Cole to get to first base. But that inning, from Judge dropping that ball, you could feel it starting to spiral. And that's what makes me the most obvious about this team and what bothers me and what I've seen so many times is the inability to stop the spiral. You want to put that on the manager? Fine, I'm with you. There's never been a mental toughness with this team to say, okay, I made one bad play. I will not let it spiral. It continues to spiral. That inning, Judge drops the ball, does not need to lead to the Volpe play. The Volpe play does not need to lead to not covering first. Not covering first doesn't need to lead to throwing a fastball with two strikes to Freddie Freeman. They are all their own individual plays that can all be stopped at any time. And instead, this team continues to allow these innings to spiral out of control. That is the most frustrating giveaway of an opportunity to win a championship. And again, this isn't game seven. They're still down 3-2. They win this game. They have an uphill battle going back to LA no matter what. We might have been destined to feel this sadness and not capture the 28th championship no matter what happened in this game. But we needed to see it. And I didn't think after game four that they could make me this sad. I thought at least if they finished off that game and didn't get swept and at least fought there, that if Cole got lit up or they were shut down again by Flaherty or whatever the case may be, I would be angry. I'd be disappointed. I would be frustrated. The season would still be a failure, but I wouldn't feel what I'm feeling right now. I thought the sadness and the frustration and the, like, this team's a freaking walking nightmare was at least gone as long as they got off the deck and didn't get swept. But you can't feel worse than you feel right now if you're a Yankee fan, watching them throw a game away with the easiest plays you've ever seen in your life. I mean, this is an MVP who finally woke up, hits the home run an inning earlier, two innings earlier, makes an unbelievable running, jumping catch up against the wall. I mean, this is a guy who hasn't made an error all year. Like, we're just chalking it up to all the same old mistakes this team has made all year. Judge hasn't made a single error all year. Volpe's a Gold Glove finalist. He makes the play. He doesn't throw to the wrong base. He doesn't push it. He doesn't, you know, make some sort of mental gaffe. He spikes a ball, throwing it to third base. It's an easy play. Just throw it to him. The spiraling nature of, and then to look up after the squibber and see Cole isn't there, I mean, it is as frustrating as it could possibly be. And this team, which, well, you know, right now, it's easy to say, and it's true, the Dodgers are the better team. The Dodgers showed up. The Dodgers had to make all the plays. The Dodgers had to put the ball in play. Kiki Hernandez had to bust his ass to third base to make that play more difficult. You know, obviously Mookie Betts had to bust his ass down the line to make that play where Rizzo couldn't get there. The Dodgers took advantage of it. They still needed to get hits. Even after all that, they still needed a base hit from Freddie Freeman. They still needed a double from Teoscar Hernandez. They still needed to come through in the eighth inning. Like, they had a great series. They outperformed the New York Yankees, and they are, without question, the better team. That doesn't change the fact that the Yankees are self-inflicted wounds away from being right in this series. They are. You could argue they are self-inflicted wounds away from being up 3-2 heading to L.A. That's what gets you. If they're outplayed, if they're outperformed, if they're beaten, you can live with it. And while they were outplayed, and while they were outperformed, and while you could argue the Dodgers are the better team, clearly, it'd be hard to argue against it, they're clearly the better team, the Dodgers aren't the reason this series is over. The Dodgers aren't the reason we're not getting ready for a Friday night in Los Angeles. The New York Yankees are. They're their own worst enemy over and over and over again. Whether it's the inability to hit with runners in scoring position, whether it's the poor defense, whether it's sloppy base running, whatever the case may be, and a lot of those mistakes happened the entire postseason. The mistakes on the base path to Kansas City and to Cleveland, fundamentals. Easy. Fundamentals. And I don't want to get confused here. Fundamentals, base running, fielding, all of it, have plagued this team and are a major part of why they're not better than they are. I don't want anyone to think I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is it's more than fundamentals. What happened in that inning? Judge dropping a ball isn't fundamentals. That Volpe play, he made the right play. He didn't make a mistake. He threw the ball in the dirt. That's a physical error. Those were two physical errors that happen all the time. And I'm not trying to blame, I'm not trying to take away blame from them. I'm just saying, why are they not capable? Why are they not capable? Of what most, a lot of the times it is fundamentals. Sometimes it's just flat out mistakes. Sometimes it's just flat out physical errors. Whatever it is, some way this group consistently finds a way to cost themselves games. And here we are again, trying to come to grips with a game that they had won. It's 5-0. Gerrit Cole's throwing a no-hitter. Judge hit the big home run. They've added to it. The crowd's going nuts. This is a laugher. This is a, hey, our offense has awoken. Yours has gone in the toilet. And you better watch yourself because we're going back to L.A. with all the momentum. And instead, the Yankees decided to throw all of that away. And I know everyone wants to blame the manager, and we'll talk about it, 888-808-1019, and we want to talk about the future of the manager, and clearly we want to talk about the future of Juan Soto, and we could talk about a lot of different things. This team, the players on it, the manager, and the GM who built it, have formed a group that are talented, that deserve to be in this World Series, that had an opportunity to win it, but wanted no part of it. And at 2:20, I'm sitting here trying to figure out why they didn't. And I can't. 888-808-1019, quick break. Your phone calls on the end of the Yankee season. Where they go from here, I suppose. And what the hell happened in that fifth inning? What the hell happened with Canely? And we'll get to the decision on what Boone did with the bullpen late in this game. But ultimately, they were going to lose this game. The second Teoscar Hernandez hit that double that tied the game. They were destined for a loss. You could argue they were destined the second Cole didn't cover first base. That inning is why they lost. And even if they won this game, that inning is why they were going to lose this series. That's an inexcusable inning. It's embarrassing. It's a debacle of the highest order, unlike anything we have ever seen. At least as Yankee fans. And it's easy to just wash it out with the fundamentals. It goes deeper than that. It's a flawed team that doesn't know how to win. And whether they'll make a mistake fundamentally or they'll make a mistake, just a physical mistake that costs them, a mental gaffe, whatever the case may be, they will find a way to lose the game. And I don't know why.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
So yeah, to me this is as tough a loss as I've ever experienced. Like right now it feels that way. And 01 was, to me, listen, 04 was a slow death that you saw coming after game 5, like 6 and 7, I knew they were going to lose. So you had time to come to grips with it, and then you get blown out early in the game, and it's a slow death. 01 was always the toughest for me in that moment to be, you know, four-time champion. And obviously, with the, you know, being around 9-11 and everything, that was a team you thought was destined to win, and the city needed a championship. And in that moment with Mo on the mound falling apart was tough, but I gotta be honest, watching that, to know right now that the Yankees would be getting on a plane and that we as Yankee fans would have an opportunity to see them play game six in Los Angeles with all the momentum if Aaron Judge caught a fly ball, if Anthony Rizzo threw the ball 10 feet away from him on a fly, if Gerrit Cole covered first base. If any one of those things happen, the Yankees are playing game six. That is an impossible pill to swallow. It's an impossible pill to swallow. If Aaron Judge catches a humpback, you know, I guess a little harder than that, but a line drive that's in his glove, if he catches that ball, we're playing game six. If Anthony Volpe throws a ball 10 feet in the air, we're playing game six. And if Gerrit Cole covers first base, they are playing game six. And what a remarkable job. I did like an overtouching thing of it, but like, really, what a great job. Like, what's so frustrating about it is he did an incredible job to strike out Lux, to strike out Ohtani, and to get that little squibber off of Betts. I mean, he got out of that inning, and he picked up his teammates' terrible defense. He did it. He did it. Do you know what we'd be talking right now about Cole after picking up the team and not even giving up a run to that top of the order Dodgers lineup? You know what we'd be talking about right now? That legacy, worth every penny. If he opts out, pick up his contract, Cole's the man. But that's what we'd be talking about right now. Because he did an incredible job instead. We're talking about whether or not, you know, the manager's laissez-faire attitude all year was the reason he didn't run to first. I mean, that to me is so freaking frustrating. Because again, I don't care, Billy Martin, you know, Buck Showalter, whomever, Tom Lemanski. Like, I don't know how you could possibly tell me that if the Yankees had a different manager, Gerrit Cole would run to first base. There's plenty of reasons to get on Boone. Boone cost them game one, without question. Cost them game one, which is enough to be pissed off. It's the World Series. But I just don't know how you can convince me whatever happened before it, whatever. He could literally have a beach party in there every day. And like the idea that the pitcher shouldn't know to cover first base, and that's Boone's fault. I have a tough time with that. I know many of you will make that conclusion. I get it. I mean, I know you feel that way. I don't understand how in that moment you can say that. Like, I know that's the one thing they do in spring training. It's the only videos they show us is doing the pitcher defense. That's like, that's it. That's all I see on spring training videos. Like the idea that that's acceptable and Cole didn't cover first because he said, oh, the manager won't mind? Like, these are grown men making $300 million. He didn't cover first base. It's on him. It's on nobody else. Nobody else. It's an excuse for players. It's an excuse for players. There have been a lack of fundamentals, no doubt. No doubt, and it's gone year after year, and it's a problem. And that's partly on Boone, if not exclusively on Boone, fine. I'm just saying that inning is just so inexplicable to me, and we're just going to mosey it on into this is what they are, who they are, and everyone's saying it. So I'm the idiot. I'm open to that. I saw egregious physical errors at the most inopportune time in the history of my life. And then a mental gaffe from a pitcher who knows better, whether his manager is Yogi Berra, Lou Piniella, Tony La Russa, Billy Martin, Aaron Boone. 888-808-1019. Remington, Manhattan. What's up, Remington?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Certainly the anxiety, if you want to call it that, certainly improved, and certainly improved the receipts at P.J. Clark's on 3rd Avenue tonight, I'll tell you that. But, you know, the dichotomy is as profound or simple as keeping your eye on the ball when you're hitting or fielding. It's what you learn in the Little League, Chris. So,
yes.
Dr. Chris, what is the diagnosis and prognosis of the Yankees? I'll hang up and listen. God bless you when you're
all right. Thank you, Remington. The diagnosis is they're losing. They're losers. They lost. They lost the World Series, and they didn't give themselves a chance to win it. The Dodgers are very good, and they beat them. I'm not taking anything away from the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're world champions. Congrats to them. I'm not saying they didn't earn it. They earned it. The Yankees didn't give themselves a chance to win this series. When you're playing a better team, you have to play your best game. And if they played their best game, they're in this series. They were in this series without, you know, they didn't play their best game a lot. They're still in this series. If Aaron Judge catches a fly ball, they're in this series. It's 3-2 right now. They're still behind the eight ball. And they still probably most likely lose because it's difficult to win four straight games. But they would have been going back to Los Angeles with all the pressure on the Dodgers. And if it went the way it should have went, with their offense being completely shut down in the last couple games, the Yankees' offense awakening, Judge awakening, and that would be the conversation. Judge and this offense are going. The Dodgers have turned cold. They've got all the pressure on them. Yamamoto, biggest start of his life. All of that. Now we don't know because they can't catch a ball, they can't throw a ball, and they can't run to cover a base. What's the prognosis moving forward? They'll be a talented team. We'll find out if they sign Juan Soto. If not, they're going to put money around it. I don't know what they're going to do. They'll have a payroll at the top of the near the top of baseball. It might be under $300 million, certainly if Soto leaves. And they'll be pretty good. And they'll compete for playoffs, probably make the playoffs next year. And we'll see if they're a less flawed team. Now, I'll tell you right now, I know everyone's going to want to talk about the manager. I'll tell you right now, the manager's coming back. Andy Martino's already reporting he made it to the World Series. They have a one-year opt-out clause on him. The rest of baseball, whatever you might think of him, the rest of baseball believes him to be a really good manager, even if they disagree with some of the decisions he's made in-game here in the postseason. Aaron Boone's going to be the manager next year. Now, I don't think he's going to get a contract. I don't think they're going to, give him next year and then an extension on top of it. I think he'll have next year, and they'll see how it goes. They have the contract with an opt-in clause for this coming year. I think they'll pick it up. And then depending on how the team plays next year, he'll either earn another contract in their eyes or it'll be the end of it. But I'm telling you right now, Aaron Boone, Brian Cashman are coming back. This team just made it to the World Series. And if you listen to Susan Waldman as I was coming in, she said some of the same things I've been saying. Like, if you look at this team, right, and this is more... For the last couple of years, it's been more of a Brian Cashman issue than it has been Aaron Boone. Like, you look at it, first base, they got nothing. Third base, they got nothing. Left field, they got nothing. Catcher for, two-thirds of the season before, Wells really established himself, they got nothing. So they got no offensive production in left field, no offensive production at first base, third base, or catcher. That's four out of the five spots. Their bullpen was atrocious for the entire, month of July. And he helped work that bullpen together, got the offense going enough, and they made it to the World Series. And that's not good enough. No one's saying it is. And if they fired him, bye. Believe me, this is where people did. Like, I'm okay with Boone. If they fire him, thanks. See ya. Let's hire a better manager. I'm not crying about it. I'm not screaming about it. I'm not saying, how can you keep Boone? Move on from him. I'm fine with it. I know they won't. And I don't think it's... I don't fall in line with the thinking of they can't win with him. He's a terrible manager. That's where we just disagree. I think he's a fair manager. I don't think he's a great, great manager. I don't think he's a bad manager. I think he's a solid manager who just took this team that had a million flaws in it to the World Series, and they're well within their rights to keep him. They're well within their rights to fire him. And he lost them game one of the World Series. And if you feel like that's enough to fire someone, and maybe George would have that old conversation, then fire him. Fire Cashman, too. I'm okay with all of it. Especially at 2:37 this morning. Andrew in the Jersey Shore. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how you doing? Just heartbroken after what happened tonight. I was at the game. Yeah, disaster. Couple of things. I would have liked to see Rizzo at least dive with his glove to the base after he sees Cole not running over to cover.
He instead of coming up with an urgency to get to the bag, he just came up looking to make the toss. But Cole's got to be there. You're not wrong necessarily about how Rizzo handled it, but bottom line, Cole has to be there.
Absolutely. Most of the blame goes on Cole. I thought there was one move that Aaron Boone did twice that cost the Yankees a 3-2 lead in the series, and that is bringing Tommy Canley in the game when he immediately went to Luke Weaver instead of going directly to Weaver. So in game one, eighth inning, one out, Shohei's coming to the plate. You got to go with your best at that point. Luke Weaver is well-rested after the ALCS. He had a long break. Mm-hmm. Ohtani, the greatest player in the world, is coming up.
Yeah.
You don't go with Tommy Canley, who's 35 years old, who threw 40 straight changeups to Ohtani. Ohtani hit a missile. They're lucky that ball wasn't hit to New York.
Yeah.
Okay? You got to go at Luke Weaver with five outs to go.
Yeah.
And then when he's on third base, you go to Luke Weaver once he's on base. If he can pitch for five outs, why the hell isn't he in the game to Ohtani? Then tonight, Clay Holmes is in. They take out Holmes for the eighth inning. They bring in Canley again.
Yeah.
He loads the bases without getting any outs, and he brings in Weaver. If Weaver can pitch with no one out in the eighth,
I hate this argument. I agree with almost everything you say except the end. What is he supposed to do once Canley loads the bases? Not go to Weaver? Because you could use that against them?
Before.
I understand that, but you make it sound like if you're willing. He wasn't really willing. Then he was desperate. Like, I hate that argument. I've seen it a couple times. Like, well, if you're willing to go to Weaver in the eighth inning and get all six outs, just start the inning with him. Like, he's not really willing. He's got no choice once Canley loads the bases. And we saw what happened to Weaver after he had to get through one inning. He's exhausted. You could have brought in Weaver for both of these outs. In both of those scenarios, your argument of just start with Weaver makes sense. The one I hate is, well, if you're willing to use him, what is he supposed to do once Canley loads the bases? Not go to Weaver because I really didn't want to pitch him two innings? Now he's got no choice. Now he's got to go to Weaver to get the six outs. He wanted to avoid it because he didn't think Weaver would be good at it, but now he has no choice. Was he going to go to Stroman? Once the bases are loaded, he has no choice but to go to Weaver. He was trying to have Weaver be one inning because Weaver's struggling. I mean, Weaver's exhausted. I agree with you. Could have brought him in earlier in game one and then should have brought him back out for the 10th in game one. Terrible decision making. In this game, I would have just went to Weaver in the eighth inning. I understand why he didn't, but I would have. But don't tell me, well, if he's willing to pitch him. He didn't want to. He had to. Once Canley loans the bases, you have to do it. Now you're forced. He forced his hand. He wanted to see if he can get through with Canley, who's been very good. And look at his numbers. He's been going all year, and he's been good in the postseason, no matter how many changeups he threw. He gave up a single, and then he gave up a broken bat ground ball that just found the perfect hole, and then he lost the strike zone. He's been great all year. Canley let him down. And I would have went to Weaver, but then you saw Weaver after the first inning, and you could tell his fastball, his miles per hour dropped like 2 miles per hour, and he's exhausted. Don't blow five-run leads in the fifth inning, and you don't have to worry about who to go to in the eighth.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 248, McMonagle here with you. Let's get right to the calls. 3 o'clock, we'll have a conversation about Juan Soto. We'll play back some of the sound from his press conference that everybody seems to be taking a lot from, which we'll get to. I think that's a mistake. 888-808-1019. Robbie and Lennox, what's up, Robbie?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? Thanks for taking my call. Give me a minute, man. Very disappointed. I mean, obviously, being a Yankee fan, 55 years, man, I'll be 60 years old in March, and this is a tough one to take. And I agree with you a lot of things you said. But I want to start, first of all, with the manager. Mm-hmm. I go back to game one with the decisions he made. I go back tonight. Yeah. You got to lose with your best. And, you know, Dave Roberts gets a lot of criticism. I give Dave Roberts a ton of credit because he kept his guy in the game, his closer, his guy, and he's going to go out with his best guy or he's going to lose with his best guy. If Weaver comes in and he screws up in the eighth inning, all Aaron Boone has to say is, look, I put my best guy out there. I thought he could give me two innings, and we were going to go back to
California. Can I just stop you for a second?
And I hate Tommy Canley. Go ahead.
Well, that's like, Aaron Boone should not be thinking about what's best to say to Robbie and Lennox, like, and all he has to say. If he feels his pitch is exhausted and he believes an inning of Canely and an inning of Weaver is better, like, people keep saying that, like, oh, if we just would have went and said, like, we saw how exhausted Weaver was in the second inning.
I understand that. And it's
like, I don't want my manager thinking about how best to appease the masses. I want him to do what he thinks he should.
First.
Yeah.
Right, I understand what he's thinking, because you know what he's thinking? He's thinking, oh, the lower part of the dodge war is coming up. Canely can get those guys out, and we'll save the Weaver for the last, for the top of the order. Which is
because
the top,
because I think Weaver will be less effective in the ninth if I have to make him pitch the eighth.
Right, but I will say this. This is not all Boone's fault. This is the construction of this ball club by the one and only Brian Cashman. I agree with you, everything. No left fielder, no catcher, all these things that you talked about are so prominent. And it's the same thing all the time. And it's runners in scoring position.
Yep.
His team doesn't hit in the clutch. Look at all the runners they left. Think about the runs they could have added tonight. Okay,
I mean, they added some, but you're right. They had a bunch of them.
And also, Cole's really overrated. Okay, 36, I feel bad for him. Okay, but 88 pitches in the first, that's Boone's fault. That's not Cole's fault. Okay, but tonight, you can't throw a beach ball down the middle to Freddie Freeman. And you can't give up a double to the Oscar Hernandez. That's not something that Clemens is going to give up. That's not something David Cone's going to give up. I'm sorry, Cole's overrated. I'm sorry. That's not something Justin Verlander does.
How many times has Justin Verlander had to get out six outs in an inning?
I agree.
Go look at Verlander's numbers in the World Series and tell me Verlander doesn't do things like that.
He doesn't do things like that. No,
look at his World Series numbers and tell me Verlander doesn't do things like that. Look at his World Series numbers. Gerrit Cole is not overrated. Gerrit Cole, you heard John Smoltz tell you it's one of the more impressive pitching performances he's ever seen to come back after that. He gave outs away. He gave out one of the three. He had to get six outs in that inning against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Eventually you're going to get burned. You can't give up six outs. And again, like, someone just tweeted me and made an exact point. Like, you know, we're so quick to blame the manager for not holding players accountable, but we never want to hold the players accountable. Like, we never just, like, we're so quick to say it's Boone's fault that inning happened instead of looking at the players. Judge dropped a ball that's an easy catch. Volpe threw the ball into the dirt when all he had to do was throw it to his glove. Gerrit Cole, overrated or not, he's making $300 million. You can't tell me that he made that, he didn't go to first base because he's coached not to. Like, there are problems with Boone. I'm not, like, this is where I'll get in trouble, because I agree with a lot of the sentiment that Boone's teams have this issue. That's true. But when you watch this particular three mistakes, I have a real hard time blaming it on lack of fundamentals. I do. I think that's just an easy jump from what a real issue is with this team to this moment. And I know they also had a catcher's interference and a balk. Those things didn't kill them. They're part of it. And catcher's interference happens to every team. But yeah, okay, in a big spot, make sure you're back. Okay. They have played sloppy baseball. More so, less so this year, really, than over Boone's entire tenure. But the base running gaffes in the earlier series, 100%. Sloppy team, base running decisions, like not making sure you do things. That's all fair. These are physical errors. I know not covering first base is a mental error, but I mean, it's Gerrit Cole, and it's something that's coached out the yin yang all spring training. Like, I think we're just taking a narrative that is true about what's gone on here and just transitioning it into an inning that really is unexplainable. I'm not taking away the fact that there are issues with this team, and that's why they only won 94 games and were so bad for so long and dealt with a lot of things, and there has been an issue. And I do think, you know, I heard Tiki talking a lot about this with earlier about Boone's laissez-faire attitude. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry. I think that's a valid argument that Boone is very much like that. Hey, we're the Yankees. We'll be fine. We're good. And maybe that seeps in. I am not saying Boone's a perfect manager. And if they announced right now that they didn't let him on the plane, he's fired, I would say, okay, great, but you got to give me a good one. Give me someone who's better coming up. I'm on board. Fine. I don't think he has to be fired. I don't think he has to stay. But that fifth inning is not about holding players accountable. They just messed up, man. You think they think it's okay in the World Series to make these plays because the managers condition them to think it's okay? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm not seeing the forest through the trees. I don't know. Maybe. But to me, it's on the players. Aaron Judge is a excellent outfielder who made a diving catch up against the wall. A leaping catch up against the wall. He dropped an easy pop. He dropped an easy fly ball. He dropped an easy line drive. That's on him. Volpe makes the right read, gets over to the ball, throws it to the right base. He makes a bad throw. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Sorry, we got a lot of, the Yankee game went long. We got a lot more breaks than we normally do. It immediately becomes the talk. There's pitching decisions that Aaron Boone made that really impacted this game that we could talk about. And I know that inning is what cost him this game. It's on Aaron Judge. It's on Volpe. It's on Gerrit Cole. It just flat out is. It just is, no matter who their manager would have been. Aaron Boone could have been out back taking a smoke during that inning. It's on them.